Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back with more Nick Cale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Nail-biter Dodgers, rested Braves. Ready to begin an NLCS rematch. Oh, I can't wait for this game. I can't wait for this series. This is going to be good. Braves-Dodgers tonight, Truist Park. Little after, 8:07, I believe, is technically the first pitch. 8:08. Remember back in the day when games would start at 8 o'clock or 8:05? Now they start at 8:08. Don't know why, but they do. Braves-Dodgers should be a good one. You'll hear from our very own Joe Patrick as well as Nick Green from Bally Sports coming up in just a moment. Final hour here on a Saturday. We've got David Walker from the Falcoholic in about 15, 20 minutes. Picks before we get out of here as well. But Braves and Dodgers running back, rematch of last year where, if you recall, and I don't know how any of us can forget it. Yeah, not only did we blow a 3-1 series lead, but this was, you know, right in the heart of the pandemic, and it was played at a neutral field in Arlington, Texas. So this a little bit different this time around, and we'll take it. I don't care that the Dodgers won 18 games more than we did. We won our division. They didn't. Dodgers won 106 games in the regular season, but still wasn't good enough. San Francisco had 107, 18 games better than us. They were able to take 4 of 6 against the Braves in the regular season. And Max Fried in the regular season, lifetime against the Dodgers, ERA short a little bit above 4, I think like 4.2. And in the playoffs, Max Fried against the Dodgers, completely different. But he's yet to get a win. ERA of 2.84. But it's a bullpen game tonight for the Dodgers, which tells me one thing. Absolutely, positively must win this game tonight. You have to protect home field. Your number one, their bullpen. They're going to be rolling through like 6 different pitchers tonight. Probably no guy going more than 2 innings. And you've got rest. You've got your number one set up. You get to have Charlie Morton in the 2 spot. And then, you know what? We'll go from there. Ian Anderson, Waskar Ynoa, all of their pitchers, Buehler, Scherzer, Urias, who I mentioned with, with Corey McCartney in the second hour of the show, as I just cough. I think Urias doesn't get the respect he deserves. I mean, this is a dude that's got 20 wins. He's 20-3, and it's not like he's got 20 wins because, you know, he pitches to a 4-3-7 and they get a ton of run support. His ERA is below 3. And it's almost like he's forgotten about because of Buehler, because of the Bulldog Max Scherzer. And, you know, in the shadows on the bench, you've got Clayton Kershaw, who's injured. And, of course, Trevor Bauer, who hasn't been around since June. Dodgers, whether it's their 3 that they have healthy or the 5 that they have on the payroll, I mean, they're like a fantasy baseball team. Like an 8-team league in a Yahoo league. How'd you get that rotation? All right, let's hear from some of the experts as we get you set for game one, which is just about 5 hours and 5 minutes away. We start with our very own Braves reporter, Joe Patrick, talking about how this Braves rotation, they can go toe-to-toe with anybody.
I said it, you know, going into this postseason, if you have two pitchers like Charlie Morton and Max Fried, and now Ian Anderson is showing himself to be a very formidable playoff pitcher, then I think you always have a chance against anybody. And
I like all three of them. No question, how could you not? But I still, as I said to start the show, I'm not betting money on those three collectively over the Dodgers three collectively. My series prediction, as I mentioned to start the show, being objective, being honest, I've got Dodgers in six, but I would love to be wrong. And there's a part of me that thinks I will be wrong, because somewhere deep in the back of my brain, behind all the other useless stuff that I have between my ears, there's a small part of me that's starting to wonder if maybe it's just meant to be for the Braves. Maybe destiny's on their side. Maybe the stars will align, because not many people thought back in June we would be here today with the way that season played out, with who we're still missing. But you know what? Injuries or suspensions, part of the game. Dodgers are dealing with it too. Kershaw's out. Bauer's out. So think about this. Both Acuna and Kershaw out for injuries. Both Ozuna and Bauer out for off-the-field issues. Then you throw in guys like May and Muncy. And we've had other injuries, Darnell and others. I mentioned McCourry in the second hour. How many times have you seen a baseball team with a projected outfield on opening day have an entirely different trio of players in the starting lineup for the NLCS? It's like a line shift in hockey. We went from Pache, Acuna, and Ozuna to Duvall, Rosario, and Peterson. That's called being a good general manager, and that's Alex Anthopoulos. Let's hear from our Braves reporter, Joe Patrick, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, talking about one little advantage we might have, and that's extra arms in the bullpen.
Braves had a few guys that didn't ever appear for them in this series. Drew Smyly was one. Maybe he's your extra innings kind of emergency type of guy who you need to go multiple innings. That's your guy, so that's why he wasn't used. But we also didn't see Dylan Lee or Jacob Webb, although Jacob Webb was getting warm in the game yesterday in the bullpen before Freddie Freeman hit that home run. I think that a guy like Spencer Strider, you know, he's a guy who came up in that last series against the Mets, big strikeout pitcher, can throw and, you know, touch 100 miles an hour. I think he's a guy who I would still look to potentially make this roster.
You know, it's interesting, too, when you think about this series. Look, when Will Smith comes in the ninth inning, we all start to sweat bullets. I get it. It's like a roller coaster thrill ride for 90 seconds going up and down and left and right. And then, you know what? The ride's over and, okay, we survived. But the Dodgers have to go with a bullpen game tonight. So think about the impact that'll have moving forward in games two and beyond. Certainly advantageous, I would presume, for the Atlanta Braves. But you know what? The Braves have had some issues with a couple of guys that used to reside in the NL East. Joe Patrick talking about Mr. Turner and Mr. Scherzer.
And especially a Dodgers team that has picked up Trey Turner, who seems to kill the Braves every time they play each other. I don't want any part of Trey Turner. I don't want any part of Max Scherzer in the playoffs, you know.
Yeah, I don't want any part of him either. And to me, they're annoying, but the guy who annoys me the most, and it's not like a personal thing, I see him and he drives me nuts because he's pretty good. Justin Turner. I feel like I'm watching like a leprechaun from hell, and he just always annoys me. Maybe, just maybe, we can get him out. I know they got Bellinger and they got a bunch of other great players as well. And yes, Trey Turner and Max Scherzer have done damage when they were with the Washington Nationals. But Justin Turner is the one that gets me. He's the guy that really just, I don't know, gets under my skin. And I can't really explain it. I think he looks silly with that beard. But we'll see. All right. So what about, we talked about the bullpen, right? What about some of the extra bats off the bench? Joe Patrick talking about some pinch hitting options.
And I do wonder now if they're able to bring on Pache, or if they feel like they need to bring in Pache to replace Soler on the hitter side, then what, maybe you can replace Terrence Gore with somebody who might be able to give you a little bit more at the plate in a pinch hit spot, instead of just having that kind of runner, that designated runner where you can use now Pache in that spot, even though he might not be quite as good at that role as a guy like Terrence Gore would be.
I'll tell you the guy that I'm really intrigued to watch, and I know, look, we would not be here today without Joc Pederson. Freddie's had some clutch moments, but we go back to the regular season, and you look at the way the second half played out. A lot of people believe Austin Riley's the MVP. So for me, I want to see Austin Riley have one of those series that if this thing goes six or it goes seven, we look back and, you know, Austin Riley was, you know, 12 for 23 in the NLCS, and he, you know, he hit 542 and he had three home runs and 10 ribbies. Like, I want to be able to say Austin Riley just absolutely ended the Dodgers' existence. And it's not an X factor from the standpoint of somebody that we don't expect. Like, we expect him to have a good series because he had a hell of a regular season. But that's the guy that I want to see just put his stamp on the postseason. All right, let's get to our boy Nick Green, Bally Sports, Braves analyst, always a guest on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He was on, and he was talking about the guy we will see in Game 2, Charlie Morton.
It's crazy how one less day of rest affects guys. And, yeah, I expected Charlie Morton to be good early on, but, you know, he's going to fatigue at some time. And he was able to give them exactly what they needed. And
what's interesting is the way it's shaking out. So Dodgers go bullpen game tonight. We go Max Fried. Tomorrow, 7:38 first pitch. As of now, it is slated to be Ian Anderson and Max Scherzer, which would then set up our boy Charlie Morton on Tuesday afternoon in Los Angeles for Game 3. That would be a 5:08 first pitch Eastern time, 2:08 Pacific, and it would be Morton against Walker Buehler. So you can argue that we have the advantage tonight for sure in Game 1. Game 2, advantage Dodgers. Game 3, I'd go coin flip. Morton against Buehler. Now, Buehler will be the betting favorite, but I feel like that's a coin flip spot. I think Charlie Morton can absolutely match Walker Buehler. 404-741-0929. Speaking of the bullpens, we heard Joe Patrick, his thoughts on the bullpen. Let's hear from Nick Green's thoughts on the bullpen against the Brewers.
You have to give the bullpen credit, too, because if I'm not mistaken, they threw 14 and two-thirds innings of two-run baseball that entire series. So everybody did their job in that series.
No question. And look, it's not pretty at times, especially when we get to Will Smith. But, you know, I think a lot of people get caught up in bullpens. You know, there are very few teams that feel great about their bullpen innings 6 through 9. Like, bullpens are the soft white underbelly of baseball. Yeah, not a lot of people have a six-pack. Let's get to a guy. I don't know if he has a six-pack, but he's got swag. Joc Pederson. Here's Nick Green of Bally Sports talking about what Joc Pederson has brought to the Braves.
His demeanor is perfect for the Braves. I felt like he brought a ton of energy over in a little bit different way than the Braves needed. The calm, collective attitude, knowing that he's going to get it done. You hear his comments after games. It's so great because he's so confident in who he is and what he can accomplish.
Joc Pederson revenge game, anybody? I mean, I'm just saying, I think it's possible, especially the way he's been swinging the stick in this postseason. 404-741-0929 is the number. That is also the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can get me on Twitter at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. We got a lot coming up here in about the final 40 minutes of the show. We got our man David Walker from the Falcoholic, SB Nation. He'll join us on the other side. And then also, we got our picks. Good week in the NFL last week. We went 6-4 with the picks. Try to make you guys some money again on this Saturday before we get out of here at 4 o'clock today. Also, we'll keep you updated. All the college football scores over the next 30 minutes. Dogs and the Cats kick off in about 25 minutes. Stay there. It's the Nick Kale Show. Good to have you guys in here on a Saturday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
You're listening to The Nick Kale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, good to have you guys aboard here on this Saturday. Final 40 minutes. We'll make our NFL picks against the spread before we get out of here in about 20. But right now, let's get back to the Falcons. Haven't talked about them for about 2 hours on the show, but now's a good time as we welcome in our buddy David Walker, editor for the Falcoholic, SB Nation. You can follow him on Twitter at Falcoholic DW, and he's back with us again. What's going on, David? How you doing, bud?
Hey, I'm doing great, Nick. It's good to be with you.
So let's start with the bye week, right? We took inventory of this team about 2 hours ago, got into the rookie Kyle Pitts, got into the head coach, the schedule coming out of the bye, which is very manageable these next 3 weeks. But I want to start, what has been your assessment of Arthur Smith so far through 5 weeks?
You know, I think expectations for any new coach sometimes tend to get out of whack with fans. Realistically, he is a rookie, the same that many of these guys are. And he's a guy that's made some mistakes. You know, we saw that in Washington at the end of the game. A lot of people felt like he got way too conservative towards the end. But he's learning from those mistakes. He course corrected, you know, did the exact opposite to close out the Jets game. That is a good sign. You know, we've seen head coaches who sort of, you know, stick their heads in the sand with that and just blame execution. They blame their players. He's taken accountability for that. I think he's getting better, and I still have a lot of faith that this guy could be the long-term answer for the Falcons.
You mentioned the fact that he's a rookie. We spent about 20 minutes in the first hour of the show talking about the other six rookie head coaches. Here's the way I rank them. You tell me if you agree with where I have Arthur and where the rankings are in general. Brandon Staley with the Chargers, number one. Arthur Smith, two. And then 3 through 7, I have Robert Saleh with the Jets, Sirianni with the Eagles, Cully with the Texans, and then Campbell and Urban Meyer.
Yeah, I think that is pitch perfect, honestly. It's hard to argue with the Chargers being top of the list right now. But honestly, you know, Brandon Staley stepped into a relatively good situation there. Mm-hmm. Young quarterback, up and coming. The Falcons, I think, coming in was a really difficult ask for a coach because of the cap issues and what, you know, they had to do from a player personnel standpoint. So I would actually say that even though I think Staley does belong at the top right now, I'm still impressed with what the Falcons have done, given all the challenges they had coming in.
Yeah, no, same here. David Walker joining us from the Falcoholic on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. So coming out of this bye week, I think this is really manageable. I think you can get 2 out of 3. I don't know that you'll get all three, but you've got 2 weeks for Jacoby Brissett. You get Sam Darnold, who's come back to earth the last couple of weeks, and then you get Jameis Winston. Can the Falcons win 2 out of 3 and get to 4-4?
I think so. And you look at the Panthers, Christian McCaffrey has been put on IR now. He won't be in that game when we face them on October 31st either. So that is, you know, a good change for the Falcons. They've sort of faced a murderer's row of defensive fronts, and these three teams are not going to be the same level of the pass rush that we've seen over the first 5 weeks for the Falcons. That gives me hope that this offense can potentially get going. I mean, they got going against the Jets without their two top wide receivers in, with Kyle Pitts essentially running the show in the receiving game and Cordarrelle Patterson. If they get those guys back, if they get Russell Gage back, if they get Calvin Ridley back, there's no reason they can't win 2 out of 3. And honestly, if you're asking me to bet on Jameis Winston, I'm not taking that bet.
Yeah, man, I'm with you. I would not ride with Jameis, that's for sure. One of the things that has been a great improvement, and I get it, it's a small sample size, but the red zone offense the last 4 weeks has been one of the best in the NFL. What are you seeing that is different, that is leading to touchdowns as opposed to field goals?
You know, honestly, it's actually simple things. With the passing plays, they're using concepts that most successful NFL teams do. And they use a lot of pick plays in the goal line. And honestly, it's something that in the time that we had Dirk Koetter here, it was sort of maddening that we never saw them execute that. Mm-hmm. So it's really these simple plays where Arthur Smith is creating these great wide open opportunities. And this is what we brought him here for. It's not necessarily that, you know, he's running complex patterns, but he's doing a lot of the simple, very effective things. And I think we're going to see more of that And that's why, you know, he had one of the best red zone scoring offenses the past 2 years in Tennessee.
You know, I think a lot of people were, I don't know if freaking out was the right word, but they were definitely concerned the first couple of weeks the way Arthur Smith either used or didn't use Kyle Pitts. But now you have a couple of breakout games, most notably against the Jets, and he's on pace to almost eclipse Mike Ditka's rookie tight end record. What are you seeing from Kyle Pitts that maybe the light bulb has gone on?
Well, I think the thing we forget is the tight end position. The reason it is so difficult is this particular position in Arthur Smith offense has to run routes out of every position. He has to run routes as a wide receiver, as an inline tight end, in the slot. That is a very, very big lift for any player. You know, it's not a single responsibility. And I think what we're seeing is that Kyle Pitts is beginning to get the entire playbook. He's beginning to understand the responsibilities and what's being asked of him. I think also it's part of it is trust, you know, building that trust with Matt Ryan, knowing where he's going to find him on the field, knowing that he's going to be in the right route at the right place at the right time. It just takes time. And I think that's the biggest factor we're seeing is that with time, his talent's beginning to show, but you know, he and Ryan are getting on the same page now.
You know, I think we all obsess over the rookie tight end because he was the fourth overall pick, but maybe as important, or maybe even more importantly, is the second-year class from 2 years ago. What are you seeing from A.J. Terrell this year that has shown some growth and development?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to focus on the three penalties he's had in four games, which certainly he has to clean that up. But what I'm focusing on is the fact that this guy has allowed just 37.5% receptions, just six receptions on 16 targets, a total of 42 yards, 28 of which were on one reception. Mm-hmm. He is playing phenomenal. And he is – I don't want to call him a shutdown corner yet because I think that's a little bit too far. I think teams are intentionally targeting Fabian Moreau on the other side. But he has been in position. We saw in the Buccaneers game where he batted away two passes that saved touchdowns. He has taken a massive step forward, and he may legitimately be turning into one of those corners that can lock down a part of the field for a substantial portion of the game.
You know, you look at this defense and, you know, there's going to be points allowed. And when you look at the points allowed column, you see the number. But, you know, there was a couple of pick sixes in that Tampa Bay game that really is not attributable to this Falcons defense. What have you seen from Dean Pease through 5 weeks with this defense as opposed to maybe what we saw last year?
You know, I think we knew the pass rush was going to be hit and miss. They were going to have to go up against lesser offensive lines. We saw them have success against the Giants, which have one of the worst offensive lines of football. What I've actually been surprised by is how well the secondary has played in stretches. Now, they've had moments, as many defenses do, but the thing that stands out the most is that they have been far more successful in key situations than what we've seen in the past, particularly in third downs, in forcing three and outs or getting off the field on third down, and in fourth down stops. That's something I think, you know, we never saw the Falcons succeed in under Dan Quinn. So it's those key situations where they seem to be really delivering more than pass defenses. They're going to give up yards. Mm-hmm. They're going to give up points, but they are getting off the field a little bit more consistently than what we've seen in the past.
David Walker joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You know, Jalen Mayfield was criticized early on, but when you look at this offensive line right now, how would you evaluate what you have seen? Is there reason for optimism with this unit from left to right tackle, or is this still a big issue?
I think there's reason to be optimistic for the most part. I still think Caleb McGarry at right tackle needs to prove that he's worth that first-round pick the Falcons invested in him a couple years ago. Mayfield, he's probably still a subpar starter, but that's actually a big improvement from where he was in week one. Mm-hmm. Matt Hennessy is quietly turning into sort of a league average center in his first year starting, which is, you know, really great progress. The thing that stands out to me is the Jets came into the last game with 13 sacks. They were tied for third in the league. They didn't touch Matt Ryan once. They didn't bring him down the entire game. And he had time in the pocket, and that's why I think he had one of his best games, really, not just this year, but over the past 3 years. And that a lot of that comes down to the offensive line, I think, finally coming together. And now I want to see them continue to improve in run blocking, because if they can open up those running lanes, I really think this offense could hit its stride in the next few weeks. And, you know, when you're talking about that schedule, as you mentioned earlier, if this offense gets going against some of these other teams, they could surprise some folks.
And speaking of the schedule, my producer, Eric Slaughter, made a great point. You know, we're going to come off of the London game with a bye 2 weeks to get ready for Miami. But Miami's in London. They play the Jaguars tomorrow, and they don't get a week off. They got to come all the way back across the pond and play the Falcons in 1 week.
Yeah, that's brutal for them. But it seems like this is the first time where the Falcons are getting the plus side of the scheduling this year, especially with the fact that they had a home game in London with only 8 games at home this year. But yeah, that could certainly play into, you know, the Dolphins' fatigue. And honestly, I look at the Panthers, look at the Saints. Really, the Cowboys is, I think, the next game on the schedule after these next three where I'm not feeling very comfortable about their chances. But these next three are winnable. I'm not saying they're going to win them all. I'm a Falcons fan, so I know never to make that prediction. But if this offense gets going, I think that they can at least stay in all of these games and be competitive.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to get an interesting second half. We're at least in the hunt for maybe that 7 seed for the wild card. And I think it's an opportunity to cash in, because I don't know that you're ever going to get an easier schedule from a quarterbacking standpoint. You had Jalen Hurts, Daniel Jones, Taylor Heineke, Zach Wilson. You get Brissett, Darnold, and Jameis. You mentioned Dak. He's a stud. And then you get more rookies with Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance. I mean, we're facing all of the rookie draft class from this past quarterback class.
This is why I think a lot of people felt like the Falcons could be a sneaky pick for that last spot in the playoffs this year. And to your point, they're facing a lot of young quarterbacks. And a veteran defensive coordinator like Dean Pease likes to rattle those guys. He likes to get them off the mark. We saw that last week with Wilson. I think that if they play up to their potential, which we know is, don't place any bets on that, but if they play up to their potential and what we saw the last couple weeks on offense, this is a team that could get to 8, 9, maybe even 10 wins and really sneak in at the back end of the playoffs. And honestly, with the way they started this season, it's quite the turnaround that we're talking about that just after 5 weeks.
All right, final one for you. I got about a minute and a half left. And I know this is very premature, but I'm just kind of thinking out loud here. Is it possible that Calvin Ridley does not see a second contract with the Falcons?
Ooh, you know, we've actually talked about that at the site. And I'll tell you what, of all the players on this offense, he's been the most disappointing. And I love Calvin. I think he's got a tremendous amount of potential. He does have, you know, that fifth year option coming up. If he continues to play like this, if he can't clean up the drops, if he can't, avoid running left, right, instead of north, south, I think the Falcons may wait to see how he does in that fifth year instead of making a long-term commitment. I don't think it's unreasonable, especially when you're a team that's got cap constraints. You want to make sure that when you spend that money on wide receiver one, it's going to be a guy that's going to live up to that. And right now, Calvin has not. I hope he finishes this season strong and proves that he deserves a second contract. But right now, I think it's 50-50.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, I said back in July he was going to be a first-team All-Pro. I mean, so life comes at you fast. Now, all of a sudden in October, I'm asking you about his future. But with Pitts, with Patterson, with the cap constraints, and knowing that whatever money you do have, you might want to spend a little bit on defense. I think it's worth asking the question what his future is.
Absolutely. You have to be smart in this league with how you spend your money, and overspending on a receiver that's not cutting it when he was finally given the chance is a great way to sink your franchise quickly.
David Walker, great stuff as always. Thanks for the time on a Saturday, bud. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Nick.
You got it. David Walker, editor for the Falcoholic, SBNation.com. You can follow David on Twitter at FalcoholicDW. We will come back. Final segment. It's the money segment, literally. Because we try to make you money in the National Football League. We've been pretty good so far. 4 out of 6 winning Saturdays. That's about, 66%? That's pretty good. We'll see if we can make it 5 out of 7. Stay there.
Back with more Nick Cale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, welcome back in Nick Cale Show. Oh, yes. You know what time it is. Time to make some picks against the spread. Sunday selections in the National Football League. A 6-4 weekend last weekend. 4 out of 6 winning weeks. Let's see if we can do it again. Also, before we get out of here, college football scoreboard update. Results from our poll question. We'll make our pick in game one of the NLCS. Dogs and cats underway. We'll give you a quick update on that. But let's start with our NFL picks. And I've actually got 4 of them. And we'll round back to college because I got a college game tonight as well that I like. But I'm going to start in the early window tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And I don't understand why the number is what it is. And I'm possibly on the other side. Maybe the wrong side. But that's okay. Sometimes Vegas makes mistakes. I ask you this question. Why is the Minnesota Vikings at 2-3, a 2.5-point road favorite against the Carolina Panthers? Unless I'm missing something, I don't understand that line at all. That line screams Minnesota. How can a team with a losing record be favored on the road against a team with a winning record? Did Sam Darnold die? Did I miss something? Sam Darnold's not any good. Sam Darnold has returned to earth. And I know Christian McCaffrey is out. But I am taking the Carolina Panthers and Matt Rhule at home, getting 2.5 to get it done against Kirk stinking Cousins. The very epitome of mediocre, middle of the road. He's one of those guys where you might be able to justify as a franchise quarterback. Because, well, what's the alternative? Exactly. So I'll take the Panthers. I'll grab 2.5 at home. And I don't think I'll need it. Panthers win the game outright. Give me Carolina plus the 2.5 against Minnesota. Then I am going to go to Cleveland for a 4:05 kick. The Cleveland Browns struggling a little bit. 3-2. No Nick Chubb. He's out. Maybe he's in Athens watching the Dogs today in his former school. Get ready to hammer the Cats. But here's one thing I do know. I love Kyler Murray, and I love the Arizona Cardinals. They are exciting to watch. But I do not believe they are the best team in football. They might be undefeated, but they're due to take an L. I will lay the 3.5 points with the Cleveland Browns, even with Nick Chubb out. Kareem Hunt, come on down. You are now the lead back. And I think Kareem Hunt and the Browns will physically impose their will on a very finesse Arizona Cardinals team. Exciting, yes, but finesse as well. And I think Myles Garrett and the Browns defense, they might not get Kyler Murray down, but they're going to frustrate Kyler Murray tomorrow. Cleveland wants to play a physical brand, limit Baker Mayfield's mistakes, and be a just punch you in the mouth AFC North team. I'm going to take the Browns. I'm going to lay the 3.5 because the line says take the 3.5 points. As we just had a random commercial play in the pick segment. That was a good spot. I don't know what commercial that was for, but we appreciate you spending money with us. You just got added exposure. But I'm going to take the Browns. I'll lay the 3.5. They'll beat the Cardinals, pick number 2. And then we go to Baltimore. Probably the game of the day. The 4-1 Chargers. The 4-1 Browns. It is a quarterback lover's delight. Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson. Two unbelievable quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson just had an unbelievable game. Threw for like 5,000 yards in a game. Epic comeback against the Colts. Monday Night Football. Short week, they come back home. And here comes Brandon Staley, Justin Herbert, and the LA Chargers. I'm going to grab 3.5 points. The Los Angeles Chargers getting 3.5. I don't know that they win the game, but I like 3.5. Feels like a 3-point game. I'll cover by the hook. Give me the Chargers plus 3.5 against Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, pick number 3. And then I'm going to go to Monday Night Football. The Buffalo Bills are the best team in the NFL. But the best team in the NFL doesn't always cover every single week. And it's Monday night. It's the Bills. It's the Tennessee Titans, a team with a little bit of history, if you know a thing or two, about Buffalo and Tennessee. The Music City Miracle in 1999, last year's regular season beatdown, 2 years ago. These teams have a history. And the Bills are coming off of a beatdown of the Kansas City Chiefs. But you know what? Kansas City's not that good. It's a short week. And I think a little letdown. Tennessee getting 5.5 points at home on Monday Night Football with Derek the Tractor Trailer Henry. Buffalo's defense is legit. But the Titans are getting Julio Jones back. They got A.J. Brown back last week. I don't know that the Titans win the game. I could see Buffalo winning this game by 3 or 4 points. I don't think the Titans will be able to stop Josh Allen, but they can keep him off the field if they can establish Derrick Henry against this Bills defense. And I think that will be their intentions. Titans won't win, but I think the Titans do get a cover. Give me Tennessee plus the 5.5 points. So your NFL picks against the spread. Carolina, a 2.5 point home dog. Cleveland, a 2.5 point home favorite. The Chargers, a 3.5 point road dog. And the Titans, a home 5.5 point dog on Monday Night Football. Four picks, four winners, where they play for pay. There's your NFL picks. College football, I've got one for you tonight. It's the Tennessee-Ole Miss game. I'm not playing the spread because it's about 3, 3.5. I could see either team win. Josh Heupel and Tennessee win by a touchdown. I could see it. Ole Miss wins by 4. I could see it. I don't really see any value in betting the spread. And some might say I'm insane for betting the under. But that's exactly what I'm going to do. The over-under is 82.5. You know how many touchdowns that is? I think 11 touchdowns is 77 points. So you need 12 touchdowns. There's only so many possessions to go in a game. I mean, if each team has 8 possessions, we're talking 12 out of 16 possessions ending in touchdowns. Can a brother get a punt, a missed field goal, an 8-minute drive that ends with a 4th and 2, and then a penalty, and you get a turnover on downs, and then you're behind the 8-ball. And you got catch-up to do. They say life is too short to bet the under. I embrace a short life. I'm ready to go to sleep permanently. I'm taking the under tonight, folks. Give me under 82.5. Tennessee Ole Miss. Your college football total of the week. There you have it. One college game, 4 pro games. And that's why we make you money on this show. See, we don't just come up with, like, stupid takes. You know, like where we have 6 producers and we say dumb things in front of a microphone. No, we actually know what we're doing. What do you think this is? Fox Sports 1? Come on. All right. Kill the music. We're done with the music. All right. Couple of things here. Let's get you guys updated on a few things. Georgia, Kentucky just underway. Not even 90 seconds into the game. Still scoreless. Kentucky with the ball at the Kentucky 37. So looks like Kentucky's actually picked up a first down, so that's actually a moral victory for the Cats. Twitter poll question of the day at 929 The Game on Twitter. We asked you the following question. What has been the better postseason run, the Hawks to the Eastern Conference Finals or the Atlanta Braves to the National League Championship Series? And I'm looking for the poll results now. Did we take it down, Eric? I don't even see it anymore.
No, it stays up for a day.
Yeah, not seeing it.
But if you can find it, let me know because I'll give the results. Also, let's get you updated on the college football scores from the early window. A lot of finals to get to. Number 3, Cincinnati beat UCF 56-21. Number 10, Michigan State stays undefeated. They beat Indiana 20-15. Auburn, how about this? They go on the road as a 5-point dog, and they beat Arkansas by 2 touchdowns in Fayetteville. Wild one in Death Valley today. LSU pulls it off as a 12-point home underdog. They beat Florida 49-42. Texas A&M, no letdown against Missouri. They beat the Tigers 35-14. And Oklahoma State remains undefeated. They go into Austin, and they beat Texas 32-24. So Texas is not back, folks. Steve Sarkisian and the Texas Longhorns now have picked up loss number 3 after the choke and the collapse against Oklahoma yesterday. Whether it's – and I think Sark's going to be a pretty solid coach. But, you know, you just look at – Texas and Sark and Tom Herman and this guy and that guy and Charlie Strong. Maybe it's just a Texas problem. Like, Texas just can't seem to get it right. They lose at home today to Oklahoma State. Okay, so do we have the poll results, Eric, as the percentage? I don't really care how many people voted. I just want to know what the results are.
It is 61%, a landslide victory for the Hawks.
61-39%. Hawks, yes, on the surface. Like, I get the results from the standpoint of nobody in their right mind thought Hawks, right? Change of the coach, Nate McMillan for Lloyd Pierce, all of that. But also, like, you have to adjust what you thought for the Braves from the regular season opener where we were all thinking, yeah, NLCS minimum. But by the time we got to Memorial Day, and then with all the injuries, the suspension, I mean, the Braves were going nowhere. We couldn't even get over 500. So I think if you take it from that point, there's probably a strong case that you could make for the Braves. I voted Hawks myself, but I don't know that 61-39 is truly indicative of the way you should view it. I think it's a little closer than that, but I'm with you on the Hawks. All right, a lot of people to thank. Eric Slaughter, the producer, the chairman of the board. Our thanks also to Corey McCartney, to Trey Wallace, and, of course, to David Walker. All right, final 60 seconds. Couple of things. I'll make some predictions here. Georgia-Kentucky's underway. I've got Georgia winning 30-6. And then also, game one tonight, NLCS bullpen game. We've got the Dodgers throwing a whole bunch of junk, and then probably Kenley Jansen. And we've got Max Fried. I'm going to take Atlanta 6, Los Angeles 2. Braves 6, Dodgers 2. We go up 1-0 tonight. Have a great Saturday. Get all your TVs. Find a way to squeeze it all in. We'll talk to you next week. Peace.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!